You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 86. And today, I'm excited to share a story about a mailman friend of mine who went from blue-collar worker to real estate millionaire. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired business leaders and visionary entrepreneurs. Welcome to the Amplifier Success Podcast. I love when I get to have a deep dive conversation with somebody who's had a massive transformation, a huge pivot that's, I think, something that will inspire some opportunity for you. And we'll get into that in a minute. Before I jump into that conversation, are you joining me in the Amplify Your Success community and taking advantage of our Amplify Lives? I'm taking a lot of the topics we cover here in the podcast and more of the questions and challenges, fears, doubts, worries, and success strategies that work for business leaders just like you. And we're kind of unpacking them and going deeper into them in these Facebook Lives. And it's a great opportunity for you to ask me your question, share with me what's on your mind, and we can do some in-the-moment coaching. So if you want to take advantage of that, you want to join in the conversations and get access to a lot of other really great resources, come on over to amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you'll be guided to our secret Facebook group where you can get access to these great weekly Facebook Lives. So look forward to seeing you there. Look forward to get to know you better. Want to hear what's up for you, what your goals are this year, what you need support with. And hey, if you could have any kind of success you want, what would it look like? Now, let's get to know my new friend Tom and find out how he created a business that he loves. Well, I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Tom Nardone. Now, Tom started working for the post office as a mailman back in the 1980s, but it didn't take him long to realize the security entrapment of a good job is not a lot different from a 30-year jail sentence. If you feel trapped, your income is limited too. Now, Tom started buying houses on his mail routes, and after 25 years of buying and holding and buying and selling, Tom has bought and sold over 250 properties. Tom's co-authored the book Secrets of the Real Estate Millionaires and has created and written courses for several real estate information products. Tom's been featured on television with two appearances on Good Morning America with Charles Gibson and Joan London, and also CNBC's Power Lunch with Bill Griffith, with radio appearances on The Cash Flow Show and other real estate related podcasts. Now, why did I want Tom to come on and join us on the Amplify Your Success podcast? He has uncovered a very powerful secret, and that is what happens when, first of all, you get out of a job that's not supporting your life goals, but secondly, how to break free of a service-based business and create unlimited income. So, Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Melanie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, we were talking about this a little bit before, and when I first met you, I shared this as well, but I loved that your story included you started as a mailman, or I guess a postal worker, as some people like to be called. You know, there are many people in my family that work for the U.S. Postal Service. So mm-hmm. I love that you have that as part of your backstory.
Well, thanks. It's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yes, it will make you unique, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, I came out of corporate world, so I had a job at one point, and I think it takes a significant amount of courage to break out of a steady job, especially a steady government job. What was the catalyst for you that gave you that burst of courage to really go for the dream?
Well, probably the first thing was, you know, I was young when I started working at the Postal Service. I was just 19 years old when I started. And I actually met my wife there at age 23, and we got married, and we both were letter carriers actually at the same time. But, you know, I'd have these days where I'd be taking my lunch break under a shade tree with my little lunchbox, and out on my mail route and just kind of pondering and asking God, like, is this my highest calling in life? I mean, do I really want to spend all my years as a postal employee? And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you really want for your entire life. But I kind of guess when you're a postal carrier, you know, nobody grows up really saying, you know, when I get older, I want to be a mailman. It's kind of something you just fall into because it pays real well, you know, as far as a blue collar job goes, and the benefits are really good. So that's how I wound up at the Postal Service to start with. So I guess the main thing is I felt like there was a higher calling for me in life doing something different.
I get that. I don't know if you've ever heard my story, but I felt stuck. I felt like I was a round peg trying to fit in all these different shapes and nothing was working. And I knew I wanted to do more and be more and make a difference. But, you know, like figuring out what that next thing is, that's where it's tricky for people, I think. What was the thing that dropped for you that opened up this door that said, I'm going to do house flipping?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, when I was growing up, my dad was another blue collar guy. He was a police officer, and I grew up in the Northeast in New Jersey. And ever since I was a little kid, my dad would take me on these job sites with him because even though he was a police officer, like a lot of cops and firemen do, and even postal carriers, they kind of moonlight on the side doing other things. So my dad built houses as a side business, and he would take me on these job sites, and he, you know, I, from a little kid, I got to see how houses get nailed together and assembled. So back in the early 80s, when I was in my younger 20s, due to the fact that I live here in South Florida, we kind of have a lot of no money down seminars back in the 80s that would kind of blow through town. They'd blow through Orlando or blow through Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And I was lucky that I attended a few of those. And the guys that I attended, they were actually real guys. They weren't just like in the information marketing business. They really did what they said that they do. And that was they buy and sell and flip houses. So they kind of taught me the angle that they kind of slapped me up a little bit and kind of slapped me to awareness and said, Tom, look what you do all day. You're a mail carrier. So all day long, you either walk around or you drive around, you see houses. So you would see rundown houses and vacant houses and houses that go into foreclosure. And if you remember, Melanie, back in the 80s, there was no cell phones.
Right.
There was no internet.
Right.
So, you know, when people wanted to bring bad news, mainly the bank that, you know, somebody's about to head into foreclosure, they'd send out a certified letter. So when somebody was heading into foreclosure, at that time, the only people who knew that house was headed for trouble was the bank because they didn't get the payment, the borrower because he couldn't make the payment, and thirdly, the mailman, because I got to deliver the mail straight to the person's door and knocked on the door and would say, hey, I've got a certified letter from Bank of whatever. And they would look at it and they go, oh my God, I got to sell my house. Do you know anybody who wants to buy this house? And I'd be standing there in my uniform and I would be like, yeah, me, I'm interested, but I don't want to get in trouble with my boss. So I'll come back in my civilian clothes in the evening. And that's how I started buying houses on my mail routes.
You know, I think sometimes we have these golden paths right in front of us and we get so locked into our normal day-to-day lives, we don't even see the path that's right in front of us. So it sounds like you had a mentor, had people kind of opening that path up to you, and then you just had to walk it.
Exactly. And, you know, when my wife and I settled into our home and, you know, we started to contemplate having kids. She, you know, our first kid came along and she was like, you know what? I mean, I like the money from the job, but I really want to be a full-time mom and you're going to have to figure out a way to keep me home. So I was like, uh-oh, okay. So I got the job, but what do I do to fill her income when she quits? And that's when I realized, you know what, I could start buying and selling these houses that I fix up right in my mail route. And I don't have to like spend any money on marketing because I'm in the neighborhoods every day. I know where the opportunities are. So it just, it's that golden path, I guess you said, Melanie, that I was just in the right place at the right time and in the right market too. In the right market. I say in the right market because back in the 80s when I was getting started, we had a savings and loan crisis, which was kind of a miniature crash of what happened in the real estate market here about 7 or 8 years ago, you know, with the big housing crisis that we had. It's kind of a smaller version of that. So, you know, all the houses where people were just, they were just, you know, leaving their keys on the counter and get the U-Haul truck and back it up, pack up their stuff and just leave. And I'd be like, oh, where are you going? Wait a minute. Are you going to, you know, file a forwarding address with the Postal Service? You know, I'm your mailman. Remember, where are you going? I need to know. And they would say, nah, we're just giving the house back to the bank. And I'd be like, well, don't just do that. I mean, maybe I would be interested in buying it. And that's how I led into those conversations.
Wow. I love that you had a built-in market right in front of you. And you know, now the internet helps a lot with opportunities there, I'm sure. But that it's almost like all of the paths aligned and you just had to say yes. So I know, and I'm pretty sure you know, that shifting gears from having a job to being an entrepreneur is a vastly different game. Like, you know, things are pretty much handed to us in a job. We're told what to do. Sometimes we have a little bit of autonomy and self-driven goals there. But most of us in a job, it's like it's all kind of handled and you just follow the path they lay out for you. How did you develop the habits that entrepreneurs need to be successful?
That's a real good question. It wasn't easy. But I had an easy way to do it. And I kind of thank the circumstances of my job and what it allowed me to do is when you think about what a mailman does, he actually spends a lot of time alone and by themselves because most of the day we're either walking in neighborhoods or we're driving through neighborhoods if you have like, you know, your curb box out at the street. Well, I was lucky that I lived in a neighborhood and I was pretty much delivering to routes that did have the curbside mailboxes. So the point is, you know, what was really popular back in the 80s was cassette tapes. So I had read some books by Zig Ziglar and I had a lot of tapes by Zig Ziglar. And then later on Tony Robbins, you know, who's been on the scene now for quite a long time, had some of the earlier Tony Robbins tapes. And being that I worked in the vehicle all day long, I would just take a little cigarette adapter and I'd plug the little accessory outlet into the cigarette lighter and it would run my tape player all day long. So I'd be out there 8 hours a day just programming my mind, listening to the same success tapes over and over and over again. And it literally, it sort of in a way brainwashed me and it flushed out all that negative thinking that I had that, you know, I was just going to be, you know, hold a meager job my whole life. So it helped to program my thought process and my thinking that, you know what, I am capable of much more. And there is a higher calling in life. I can do much more with myself. And I pretty much give credit to being able to program my mind with those recordings that I would listen to day in and day out for me escaping the Postal Service.
I love that you brought that up because it's actually one of the success strategies I teach, which is you have to reprogram your mind for the level of success you want. And if you've never done it before, you have to learn to think, you have to, you know, cultivate the habits, you have to become that person. And listening to success programs, joining coaching programs, it's one of the, you know, listening to podcasts like this, it's one of the best ways to start, you know, rewiring those thought processes. And I love that was part of your strategy.
Absolutely. You know, I forgot who to give credit for the quote here, but somebody famous, I think, once said, your life will never amount to anything more than the books you read and the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah, that might have been Zig Ziglar. I think he had a quote like, your level of success never exceeds your personal development.
Yes. Yeah, very true.
Yeah, and it is true. It is true for me, I know.
Yeah.
Well, then what would you say has been the greatest obstacle you had to overcome to create a successful business in this industry?
Well, the obstacle from a mindset and I can do it standpoint, or from a, like a market standpoint itself?
Well, let's tackle both of them, because I think the mindset piece is real. Like, I think the more our community realizes we've got to tackle the mindset and the strategy, right? It like gives them permission to open that mindset door.
Exactly. You know, the mindset part was the most challenging. And I give this phrase credit to Joyce Meyer. I'm reading a book of hers right now called Battlefield of the Mind. And she says in that book, where the mind goes, the man follows. And it's really, really true. If your mind doesn't go there first, your body and your life is never going to follow behind, right?
Powerful, so, yes.
Absolutely. So when I was trying to break out of the Postal Service, boy, the people that you would spend your break time with, like, you know, your 10-minute break in the morning while you're in the office, or, you know, just the people around you in general, I learned, like, whoa, the ways of the world. These, you know, I'm trying to break out, and I'm buying one property at a time, and you know, trying to do better and generally excel in life and, you know, make a better path for myself. But I found the people around me, when they realized that I was trying to, like, escape where they were, and just trying to, you know, crawl out of that and do better for my life, people, they really didn't like that. And literally, they started teasing me. And here I am in my mid-20s. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm in kindergarten, where, you know, your fellow kindergarten classmates are teasing you. They would walk around the post office teasing me, oh, yeah, one day you're going to be the millionaire mailman. And that's actually how the nickname got started for me. It wasn't like some pompous, you know, name that I picked. It was literally, you know, my workmates at the post office teasing me, chanting this, oh yeah, one day you're going to be the millionaire mailman. So I kind of had to show them wrong and make it happen. But it was, you know, for one part of it, it kind of was wanting to hold me back. But on the other part of it, it just drove me harder to work harder and change and do what was necessary to be successful and finally quit that job and escape.
I love that. And it really is true. Like, the people we spend time with are either going to lift us up or they're going to try and tear us down. You know, it's like, if they're not sharing those kind of goals and dreams, it's a threat. Like, you become something that they don't understand, and then they feel bad about themselves. So they just kind of try to tear you back down to where they're at.
Exactly.
And I love that you flipped it into fuel for your dream.
Yeah.
Because you could have easily been the other way, right? Like, very easily could have become a negative anchor that kept you held back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the first week you don't show up for bowling, it's like, oh, all the mail carriers go bowling on Wednesday night. You know, where was Tom, you know? And right. Then it, you know, then you're like not one of the guys anymore because you're into different things. And you know, I don't know. I just figure it was better to take a habit of listening to cassette tapes and start reading books instead of drinking too much beer.
Well, I'm glad you did, because it obviously paid off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say was your greatest on the marketing side than on the, you know, the business growth side?
On the business growth side, probably the greatest was I had an opportunity just about 12 years ago, it was in 2005, to actually be a part of Dan Kennedy's mastermind. And I don't know if your listening audience is familiar with Dan Kennedy, but he's really good at marketing and copywriting and just, you know, developing a following and you know, putting words in print that are effective.
Right.
So I learned from Dan, we would literally, for that 1 year, 2005, I was in his mastermind, we would meet in Dan's basement at his house in Ohio 4 times a year. So I learned a lot from those meetings, and I learned about marketing, and I learned about you have to be patient, you have to be smart, and you have to do what other people have already done before you that has proven to work. When it comes to different headlines and writing an offer that might attract motivated sellers, you know, you can apply marketing to any aspect of business, and test those markets and try different things. So I would say probably the biggest obstacle I had to overcome was being patient with print advertising back in the direct mail days. As I mentioned, you know, we didn't have a lot of internet going on even, you know, 12 or 13 years ago. The internet game was pretty new with Google AdWords and Facebook ads. And now you could just throw something out there within a couple hours and in 24 hours have some really good accurate numbers as to what a good marketing message is, right?
Because right.
The response is almost instantaneous compared to mailing, you know, having to print letters and long copy sales letters. And, you know, there's still definitely a place for long copy, but it's a very slow process to figure out what works. So I would say the biggest challenge I had was just becoming a good marketer to attract motivated sellers, which were my ideal client in the house flipping business, to be able to, you know, get my phone to ring and then, you know, find the next deal.
Yeah, I think that's good you bring that up because people forget they're not just in the business of their craft. They're also in the business of marketing. Like you're a marketing and a salesperson and you've got to make both of those things work, even if it's not your core expertise. And so that back in the day, it was a lot more complicated and expensive. So I could see how that would be a good obstacle to, you know, develop your chops around marketing.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny where we are today, because when you talk about marketing, there's been a little bit of a flip lately. And the flip is, you know, back in the day, there was, prior to the internet, there was so much mail in your mailbox that a lot of it was junk mail. And you just kind of sort through it, you know, standing over the waste basket, and just, you don't even have to open stuff up. You say, ah, that's junk. You just throw it in. And then it seems like we shifted to the internet. And I don't know about you, Melanie, but the last 5 years, man, my inbox has gotten so noisy that if somebody mails me something in the mail first class with a handwritten address, all of a sudden, yeah, that gets my attention, because the mail volume's down now and a lot of it's shifted to online. But I think a good old-fashioned mail message with the Postal Service mail certainly has its place in marketing.
I agree. And I think we're actually seeing a resurgence of some of the, what we might say, old school marketing techniques, because, you know, anything that's good always swings to the extreme and gets overused, and then it just kind of it dies in its effectiveness. And so I think a lot of people are circling back to, well, what worked before the internet? Because the internet's crowded right now. So I think that's a great point.
Very true. And well, one bonus we do have on the mail side that incorporates the technology is, in this day and age, when I want to buy a mailing list of prospective houses to mail to try to buy a house below the market, the mail lists have gotten extremely smart, unlike 15 or 20 years ago. Because now, when I buy a mail list, it's just not like a list of single family houses. Now the list I buy, it knows the owner's age. So if I want to target people that are like 55 years old and older, I can. If I want to target the price of the house they live in, like say, you know, 0 to 200,000, and that's my sweet spot for buying, I can. If I want to know how long have they owned their house, because like the National Association of Realtors, I think, says that the normal person owns their house for 7 years and then they get to itch to sell again and they want to sell. So my mailing list criteria tells me how long they've been in the house. And it also tells me actually what the equity spread is. Hmm. So, you know, I don't have to mail to people that might be upside down and don't have any equity. I can actually choose, okay, I want somebody who maybe has a $100,000 mortgage on a $200,000 house. This way they've got equity. Because if your listeners don't know this, when you're in the house flipping business, your profit basically comes from the equity that's in the property. So going back to the point is that the mailing lists you can buy today are very smart. And it's a very targeted market to where you could really zero in on a specific avatar, even with post office mail these days.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm pretty sure you could probably teach a whole class on direct mail effectiveness.
Yeah. And I come from mail, so
right. So it's a great double learning there. But I think a lot of people don't understand the value of direct mail, got away from it. You know, I think it would be awesome if you're in an industry that, you know, you haven't yet explored that, check it out. Like, it actually sometimes can be less expensive in the end from all of these complicated online strategies. So,
yeah. And like I said, you know, find out what your filters are for your best mm-hmm. avatar, whatever your industry you're in. And a lot of times you can get a mailing list that's really, really like laser pinpointed just toward that prospect.
You know, Tom, I just had an idea. You know, we're doing Facebook Live pop-up coachings now for the podcast each week. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of the things we could support our community with is talking about some of the direct mail ideas for different types of industries. So if you're listening in and you're loving this idea of trying some other marketing avenues, be sure to join the Amplify Your Success community and watch for our pop-up coaching session. So, Tom, you know, before we get too far away from this, I love that you have let your business evolve and you've diversified how your business is generating income now. What's been the next evolution of the work?
The next evolution of where my business is going?
Yes. Well, you now do coaching and consulting, right?
Correct. Got it. Okay. I thought you meant from the marketing angle. But yes, what I've morphed into is if I just count up the numbers, I've probably done over 250 fix and flips over the last 25 or so years. So a lot of people kind of found out about me and started asking me to tell my story at different real estate investment clubs. So it kind of got me into a little circuit of what we call REIA clubs. Those are real estate investment associations that are all around the country. And that led into me being invited to speak all over the place from here to Honolulu. So I've been all over the country and I started telling the story about how I got started from stage to inspire, you know, the normal working guy that, hey, you know, if you want to amplify your success from what you're doing now, there's a way out. You can do this. And if house flipping seems like it's a fit for you, yeah, I'd be happy to work with you. So that led to starting to do coaching and mentoring for others who want to be in the house flipping business. So over and over, I know what it was like being a mailman. And when you'd get like, gosh, you'd get just $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in bills stacked up on your desk. And suddenly you're just like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to get caught up? Guys, if you're in that situation in your listening audience, you're just one house flip away. You're just a flip away, because the average flip my students do is like $10,000 to $20,000. You just have to find a deal and knowing the steps to, you know, identify the deal. And a lot of times you don't even have to go through the fix and flip. In the California market, it's so hot right now, like we are in the South Florida, Miami market. You could just wholesale that to somebody else and just make a quick check on it of $10,000 or $20,000. And you don't even have to get involved in the whole rehab and, you know, the fixing up and dealing with contractors and all that. So that's maybe another conversation for another day. But so what I've offered now is I do coaching and mentoring to students who want to flip houses.
I love that. Well, and I'm glad you brought up that you don't have to do the rehab, because I think that it might intimidate some people from pursuing this. You know, they watch the you know, what is it, the that channel that has all the different house flipping shows these days.
HGTV.
You know? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So, and a great inspiration, but they, you know, certainly if that's not your background, it might feel more complicated. So what you're saying is you can actually get into this, whether it's your main business or maybe even for a side business.
Yes. You don't have to be a pro at this. There's really just a few things you have to learn and just know where to find the deals, look for the opportunity. And then just take your contract and just really, you're just like flipping the paper instead of flipping the house. You flip it over to another person and make a quick profit and assign that contract to someone else. And you can do that for a very nice fee.
I love that. That gives so many new possibilities to anyone who's looking for other ways to increase income. And by the way, I think as an entrepreneur, it's good to have diversified income. You know, whatever industry you're in, industries can become volatile, right? We're seeing this right now in the coaching world that, you know, the coaching world has become very tenuous and people's buying patterns have changed dramatically. A lot of people are struggling financially because the online coaching model has just kind of dried up for a lot of people. So having other ways that income comes in makes you less vulnerable to industry shifts.
Right. I agree. It's a great sideline business. And, you know, if you want to find a house for yourself to live in, you might just be able to shave a, you know, 10, 20, 30, even 40% off of the market and just get a really good deal.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of inspiration there. If someone's inspired to go a little bit deeper with that and wants to find out more about it, do you have a resource they could start with around it?
Yeah. I've actually written a book called How to Get to Your First $10,000 in 90 Days Flipping Houses. And Melanie, if your audience is interested in receiving that free ebook, all they simply have to do is text the word mailman to 31996. The 31996, that's called a short text code. So if you just text the word mailman to 31996, you could do that right now, unless you're driving.
Yeah, don't do it while you're driving.
Wait till you get to a stoplight or something or gas up. But nonetheless, yeah, just text the word mailman to 31996 and it'll give you instructions on how to download your free ebook.
Yeah, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. So it's super easy if you need to, if you missed it somehow and you're driving and you can't pull over, then just go check out the show notes as well. So Tom, let's wrap up with, if there was one thing you wish you knew back then when you were maybe even just making this transition to coaching and consulting in addition to the core business, what would that have been? Like that would have helped you been more successful?
I would say in my particular industry, the one thing that I've learned is sometimes you think you need a lot of money to do this and that money is scarce. But in reality, there are so many people that have money either stashed in like a self-directed IRA that can fund deals for you. That is probably the biggest awakening I had when I found out about using private money and just avoiding the banks altogether, is that there are people who are looking to invest money with people that know how to find a deal. And that's a very good relationship to have is funding partners or financial friends that you make along the way that are willing to work this with you. So that's probably my biggest thing.
So don't let your bank account dictate what action you can or can't take. Know that there are other resources. I love that.
Exactly. The money is not an obstacle. There's plenty of money out there. You just have to find the deal.
Well, and isn't that a life lesson in all areas of business, right?
Yeah.
Money really is out there.
Yep. Aww, and it's Tom, looking for a place to go.
Yes, exactly. Give it a path to follow. So Tom, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing some wisdom and sharing a very exciting path of, you know, being willing to get outside your comfort zone and do something totally radically different. And it pays off.
Thanks, Melanie. It sure has. And thank you for having me on your show today and speaking to your audience. And it's been a pleasure to be here.
You got it. All right. We'll be back again next week with another exciting episode of Amplify Your Success. I am Melanie Benson, and I can't wait to hear how you take today's episode and spark some new possibilities. If you've loved this episode and you think others might too, give it a little social media love. That on the show page, there are buttons that you can share it. I'm on Twitter, Mel Coach. I'm on Facebook, Melanie Benson Strick. I'm on Instagram at Coach Melanie Benson. So thanks so much for being here. We'll be back again next week with another exciting, inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success. I'm Melanie Benson. Bye for now.